What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Cheeky Midweeky, where we are making strength and conditioning not boring anymore, and we do that by highlighting the practitioners in this field. Before today's episode, please hit that subscribe button. It helps the show grow, and it costs you nothing. Today, I'm joined by Coach Jess Burke yet again. We've had her on the show. This is her third time now, possibly the fourth, and Jess and I go back and forth talking about life in college strength and conditioning, and we talk about this to help raise awareness, because if we keep accepting jobs as a profession for $30,000, $25,000 a year, administration has, like, it. Why would administration continue to offer jobs when that pay more if people are going to take $30,000 a year jobs? That's why on the Cheeky Midweeky, we're highlighting college, pro, tactical, private sector, and professional, like all five domains: high school, college, pro, tactical, private. Learn corporate wellness, right? Find ways that you can do the thing that you love and actually be able to put food on the table, clothes on your back, and a shelter over your head. It's not that wild to think that you want to be able to make your ends meet as a strength coach. Jess and I talk about this. We talk about private strength and conditioning, how she's been able to evolve her practice, and ways that you could potentially do the same. Here at Strength Coach Network, we pride ourselves on giving you the best quality information from strength and conditioning coaches and practitioners that still work with or have worked with athletes. This is not theory. We are always about giving you practical information that you can apply day one, the minute you're done listening to this. And you can check us out for a $1 trial in the link down below. Click that link and find out more about us.
Doesn't bark.
I mean, my dog is literally right here. Like, so if your dog, like everybody, I got a new dog last week or 2 weeks ago. So
yeah,
the pup might be making his appearance. You know, Westside Barbell, how their logo has a dog.
Yeah.
But I have a small dog, so it's not nearly as cool.
I know, I do too. She's not like a gym dog. She's just like sausage shaped and very not intimidating whatsoever, but that's okay. She seems to be okay.
How the hell is life? Like, I mean, from what everybody sees on social media, life is clearly busy, productive. Fill us in.
Busy, productive. I'm just kind of in this like crazy time period right now where I'm trying to, you know, build this facility out. But also like I still have to run my existing business. So it's just been one of those things where I'm like ready for everything to be done. It's been about, I don't know, like 7 weeks since I got the keys. So, it's good, but it's nuts.
How do you even like tackle that? Like anybody that's listening to that, like Jess, how do you even go? Like, what is the
dissociation, wine on the weekends, and I really don't know. I mean, I like this space for me, it was important, because like I, you know, hopefully all things, you know, going correctly, I'll expand at some point. And so for me, it was like really important to just have a lot of like sweat equity in this space and like really understand what it took to like, you know, like build it out and stuff. And of course I built like racks and stuff before as like, you know, the designated bitch at a given university's athletic department. Right. But like this, it was just like all mine, all stuff that I picked out and ordered. And so like, I've done, you know, all the painting, put everything together, like done all of, you know, the light kind of construction-y work thus far. So, but just, I don't even know. I really just started. Like I don't have any advice. I just started doing things and here we are 8 weeks later and it's coming together. So
that's actually something that I want to highlight is where you just said, like, you're doing general contractor work. And I remember a post that you're like, hey, apparently I'm a GC now. I don't think a lot of people that work in the private setting understand you're the one that's fixing the problems when there's things that show up, or you're paying somebody to do it. Cause they're like, oh, I want to own my own gym. Like a lot of people, I want to own my own gym. And I don't think they really understand what you just talked about right there.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, like I said, definitely could have kind of outsourced a lot, like paid people to do what I wanted. But for it being my first space, I was really excited about just like the hands-on experience and doing it and the sweat equity. So, but yeah, I mean, either you do it yourself and you take time away from your business, or it's expensive to have somebody else do it. Like there's a huge expense either way. It's the same, you know, as like owning a house versus like renting. Like there's a convenience that comes with not having to manage all of this stuff. So we'll see. I envision that the next time I run into a problem after it's fully functional, I will not be dealing with it myself. I was like, I'm done with manual labor. It's done. We're done.
I remember doing that back in, golly, I think it was 2009, 2010, when my O-line coach was opening his gym. And like you said, like the painting, the rolling out the floor, cutting it, like there is something to be said about that sweat equity, but it's like, just like with my dissertation. All right, I did it, but like, I don't really have any desire to do that
I
again.
don't have to do it again. No, yeah. I mean, and also like I say that, but it's been fun to it's gratifying to do it yourself. And it's been fun, so I don't want to take away from that, but it's just there's 50 times the amount of tasks that you think there's going to be. You're like, oh, like order the equipment and like put some flooring down and like we'll be ready to roll. And I'm like, you know, figuring out electrical work. Yeah, and it's just like, I can't do this. I simply can't do this. So, a lot more than you think it will be for sure.
How about the ability, like, are you trying, you said, you know, potentially expanding, being able to bring in, because we talked and somebody posted or commented on your post about like continuing to help legitimize private strength and conditioning. That's a very broad statement, and I know that you've been
Correct.
making progress towards that, like hiring more gym, more trainers, whether or not they're in person or remote, giving them like, is it a space that they can rent from you, and maybe they're remotely training people and filming at your facility, bringing people in one-on-one. How is that looking?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, as is the, you know, design and maintenance of the facility kind of a play as you go type thing, so is this equation of bringing in help, hiring people, things like that. I think the legitimizing the industry is the underlying principle of it. So, you know, a lot of people in my circle have asked, like, are you hiring? Are you planning on hiring coaches? And I want to make a distinction that I will probably ruffle feathers, which is something I never do. So that's crazy. You know, I'm really going to go out on a limb here. And I can't take myself seriously. But basically, you know, I am really firmly opposed to pretending like you have a business when all you have is a full personal training book, right? That's not somebody else's problem. So, you know, me until I get, I would say probably, you know, between my online clients and, you know, running stuff here, until I get like 30 hours of floor time a week, I won't be bringing people in because is that more than I want to do? 100% it is. Is there a limit to how long I can do that with the hours of work every day that I have to run my online business? 100% it is. But it's not somebody else's problem that I want to hire people because I have a facility and I expect them to be available whenever I want them. And I'm going to what, pay them $20 an hour for 8 sessions a week? You know what I mean? Like, that's not being, I guess, a good kind of steward of the profession, if that makes sense. So I feel really strongly about like building up to a point where I'm uncomfortable and like I need someone to help me. And then, you know, I can pay them a relevant amount of money per session. You know, I can give them a guaranteed number of sessions a week. And so I've just always felt really strongly about that. Me wanting to open a business is not somebody else's responsibility, you know.
What about the I word, intern? Anybody that maybe wants to, like, they're like, hey, Jess, I'll actually do it for free because I'm going to school. I've got this time. Maybe I could get credit for it, but I want to start to actually learn. Like, do I want to do this thing? I'm a sophomore in college. This is a great way for me to learn to talk to people and find out if this is for me.
Yeah, I do, you know, eventually want to have interns. I think I'm at a really advantageous time where in the spring I can start kind of exploring that. But I will not do unpaid interns because expecting people to work for free is crazy. And it would be hypocritical of me to say that and then not pay my interns. So, but I also want people who are invested and who want to learn and who want to work here and want to work for me. And I want it to be a good environment and I want them to have a high quality of life. And I know that sounds insane, but I, you know, if anyone were to intern here, they would definitely be compensated. So.
Anybody in the Chicagoland area and you're looking at getting in a, in your in school, you're like, hey, what's this S&C thing like? What's the name of the facility actually?
Honestly, I'm just kind of using my name. So this is Burke Performance Studio, and then kind of that's going to be one of the concepts as I look to. expand and do stuff. We got some stuff going, so it's exciting.
Oh, okay. A little preview.
Little preview.
Little preview. Nice. How about, like, I know I've seen you posting about the things that make you vomit on social. Like, there was on that list of all the things. Has it gotten worse or better? Because, like, we talked before where the guy was, like, talking about, you know, aged urine and, like, the crazy things that people will do, or how you're like, man, I'm really proud of myself and what I've been able to do online and training people without getting them to buy this greens powder. It's like, no, eat a salad. Like, that's where I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Has it gotten better?
In terms of the overall landscape, or I think it depends on the day. I think, like, social media is such a fickle place where, like,
vacations are meant for you to be outside doing things that you love and reconnecting with your family and your friends and recharging your battery. It is not meant for you to travel and listen to some coach talk in a conference hall and eat some food that you know really isn't the best thing that you want to be eating. Take back your vacations and do so with a Strength Coach Network annual membership. When you purchase an annual membership, you're going to get access to our course, Performance Coaching 101. In the subsequent years, it'll renew and you'll get access to 102 and 103. Each year, you're going to get access to 2 NSCA CEUs and 10 CSCCA CEUs. These CEUs will allow you to be able to learn from the comfort of your office. You'll be able to earn CEUs on your time rather than having to travel. Take back your vacation and be able to do this with a Strength Coach Network annual membership. Click the link down below for more information.
I don't know. Like, don't you feel like your algorithm is in one place one day, and then, like, one day you'll be scrolling and you're like, how did I get here? You know what I mean? And sometimes I think my social media rage baits me and just sends me the stupidest shit because it knows I'm going to watch it and absolutely spiral over it. You know, so I don't even know how to answer that. In terms of the full landscape, I mean, I think we're at a point with social media where, you know, especially there's this divide between, like, I would say an influencer and somebody who's providing some sort of value and some sort of service, right? Like, over here, it's like, we follow this person, we pay attention to them because we just like them or their aesthetic or what they're doing or the videos they make, whatever, right? And I think unless you're in the top 0.001% of that side, people are stopping caring about what you have to say. Like, you have nothing left to say, right? Especially so for a lot of these, you know, fitness coaches who, like, gained 100,000 followers for, like, getting online and being like, do you want to know why you're fat and ugly? You know what I mean? Like, those hooks that they, like, just crazy behavior. And, like, now they have nothing left to say other than, do you want to know why you're fat and ugly? So people are, like, you know, kind of slowly unfollowing and pulling back. So in my ecosystem, it's getting better, I think. But everything is cyclical. Like, right now we're in this whole Pilates, you know, like, muscles are gross, girls should be thin and small. And I'm just like, really? I can't. Yeah.
That's exactly what you're trying to combat right now, though. And, but, like, okay, so maybe this is my social media out, like, or it's other conversations I had. So I had Erica Suter on before Erica Mulholland, the ACL, like, strong female.
Yes,
athlete.
Yeah.
Just like, I guess I have just been living under a rock where it's like, no, like, women, comma, and men, like, it's just, you need to be strong regardless of, like, if you're an athlete or just a general person, like, being strong is what you need to do. Like,
correct.
I guess I was just so blown away by, like, holy cow, so many people are gravitating, and I'm not mad at her. Like, I just didn't know that people would be like, oh my gosh, this is a great novel idea.
Yeah, it's and you know, I kind of mentioned it before and then you said it as well. It, like, it totally depends on, like, there are so many ecosystems on social media. Like, it really just depends on, like, what your feed is giving you and what your, you know, algorithm is, because it's like, I think things are getting better, and then I have a consult with a client, and this is, like, not to ever, like, poke fun or make light of this, because, like, you know what you know, right? So I'm not making fun of anybody who's misinformed. Like, I would never want to make anybody feel any type of way. But, you know, I still get clients that are like, well, I don't eat carbs at night because I don't want it to, like, store on my body as fat. Or, like, I don't eat after 8 p.m. Or, like, I don't eat in the morning because I don't want my cortisol to do whatever, right? So it's just like, there's all of these different ecosystems that people get trapped in, and they get in this cycle where they just find this knowledge that, like, reinforces, you know, whatever they're getting kind of hung up on. And so a lot of, I mean, for me, I'm noticing less and less, but I'm still getting clients that come to me like saying stuff like that. And I'm just like, what are we doing?
And that's what I meant. Like, yeah, like these people that come in, they ask me these, like, and we talked about parents before where they're saying, hey, I want to do X, Y, and Z, which, and like, I'm starting to notice that a little bit more where parents and other, you know, clients of mine, they're more knowledgeable on the topic. And they're like, okay, well, like, you know, I want this more functional stuff for baseball. And I'm like, yeah, but you're 13 years old. And like, you just need to be strong. Like
Yeah.
the 20% will be all that stuff. And I think that's because, like you said, sports specific sells. And it's still just combating that because for our listeners out there that are having to deal with it, you have sport coaches, you might have parents that are wanting to do those things because people are just getting it sucked in from whatever their feed says.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I also think a little bit of that is dying. Like, it's really, I'm at least noticing a little bit of a shift in parents from like crazy shit that looks cool to like they're coming in a little bit more informed, I would say. But, you know, there's still like, it's a marketplace, right? So people are really caught up on what's going to garner attention, what's going to sell, and like, you know, do I think it's ethical? No, but I definitely know a lot of accounts and people who like actually know what they're doing and what they're talking about, but they've dumbed down, you know, their content and they focused on hooks that don't necessarily like reinforce their philosophies, but they garner attention, right? Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like they're so focused on like getting the customer that they're kind of losing their philosophy. Along the way. So, I mean, it's just social media is not real life. And I feel like we all just need to remember that every once in a while. And I do it for work, and it's the dumbest thing on the planet. And I just want to reinforce that.
Yeah, and that like I don't even remember. I don't know how this all. I'm thinking back to like 2018. We first had an account at Towson just to help generate some buy-in with the athletes. Like, oh hey, you know, I know you guys like to be here. Like, let's post a video of you all.
Like you're
And
gonna be on the page, your
yeah, like
PR is gonna
that's
be on the
it.
page. Yeah.
Where we're at, you know, holy cow, 7 years later. No, that was yeah, 7 years later. Like, wow, me and math. Wow.
That's okay. That's okay.
But like it's just insane because now, like you said, hooks. And if you post something that's not just angry, like it's kind of positive, like, hey, we're doing this, it's like nobody gets to see it, nothing, like oh,
Well,
so.
and I mean it's created this ecosystem where a lot of people that have a lot of followers, and like I said, I'm noticing a shift. Like there are definitely accounts that I monitor just, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but like they're just full of shit, right? And there are accounts that I monitor because I noticed they like built a lot of traction really, really quickly. And they regurgitate this like inflammatory and just like insane, you know, content. Like I was talking about, like there's literally this one girl who's like, oh, you're not gonna go to the gym today looking like that. And it's just like, but she has nothing to say, right? Nothing to say of substance. And so I definitely have noticed a shift of like these people who grew really, really fast just because they were the loudest and most consistent people on social media. Now those things are kind of like pulling back and shrinking, and I'm noticing more creators, and more long form content that's actually like pretty helpful. And I think that that's something that Instagram is trying to do, because they did get so caught up with like hooks and how many people were watching your video past the first 3 seconds and things like that. So I'm hoping there's some breakthrough, on the noise, but it's been a ride, so.
Something that a coach in the area and I were talking about was how sometimes in-person clients nowadays kind of do want something tangible away from you, like so that way they're getting information, but they're not getting it from Instagram or whatever. And whether you have all your clients in some CRM or something, right? Or you're sending it to them via email or text message, GroupMe, whatever, like, hey, eating nutrition, like tips this way. Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, so I mean, and a lot of the past, you know, year has been me kind of experimenting with what works for my online business. So, something that I found the clients really enjoy is like my 6 month program clients, they get access to a portal and it has, 24 weeks of educational modules. There's stuff on exercise, there's resources on nutrition, all of the scientific resources on nutrition are dietitian developed. And then there's like practical resources like, how to grocery shop at this store, what are pre-prepared foods you can buy, like stuff like that, that's more practical and tactical versus like, hey, protein, And so, well, cause like, they know that, right? Like, I don't have to say that. So like actually helpful stuff, right? So I found that they enjoy that. And then, same thing with my community coaching program. Like I found that clients like a place where resources live that they can kind of feel like they're going somewhere that's going to give them credible information. And, I think people respond to different formats. Like I have clients who will, because I can see, when they open the modules and things like that. And I have clients that won't, go super deep into the PDFs or anything like that, but they'll play through all my recommended podcast episodes and they'll play through, the videos and things like that. Or I have clients that, print off and laminate all of the modules and put them in a little binder. You know what I mean? So I think kind of having that like mixed media, and things that are a little bit more long form than, just educating on social media and just like, hey, this is, so having that organized a little bit, more, I think is something that, they've enjoyed.
Question for our coaches that have movement evaluations with their athletes when they first come in, because they might only have them for a short amount of time for the NIL world, but then we have got strength coaches that have them for a while.
Dasher has completely changed the game for how I'm able to time my athletes, whether I'm doing ACEL, Max Velo, or Curvilinear running. Had the blues, had the blacks at Goldfinch. Now that I have the silvers, this has saved me so much time in setup. Breakdown if I'm going from Ankeny to Huxley, or from Ankeny to the Nevada location, or Nevada to Huxley, like wherever I got to go time athletes, it has made my ability to go from one place to another so much easier with the silvers. Strength coaches that have to go from one field to the other, or from the field to the court, this will help you save time. Now, in the spirit of saving time, you also have the ability to have an API interaction with TeamBuilder, so now you can see all the data on the back end. Seeing data on the back end, Dasher has a free app, a player profile app, that will allow athletes to see their data. Over 6,000 coaches and athletes have done so. And if you want more than just the timing gates, if you check them out in the link down below, they have solutions to help you out with vertical jump, broad jump, RSI, all that. Check them out in the link down below.
They were fed the FMS for a while. We evolved it at Iowa. DeMarco and I evolved. Like, we talked about it when we both worked together at Iowa. Then at Elon, he made his own. He shared it with me. I've, expanded upon it. And a lot of what I have is heavily influenced by him. Strength coaches are always looking for good ways to evaluate their athletes. And there's, learning from you and what you're doing with new people of all ranges, from how long you've trained them. Like, what are some things that you're doing?
Yeah. So something that I'm really excited about is I am gonna, obviously, like, this isn't, my facility isn't fully built out yet. We still have a couple more weeks. But it's funny because I said that the pendulum did swing too far one way into data, and I fully believe that. But I am a force plate girly, right? So I'm gonna go Hawken. I'm getting like the force plate and everything. For me, it's useful in terms of, especially with youth athletes, we can usually understand where to bucket them, right? So a lot of times you look at like the force production curve and rate of force production, and sometimes kids are just weak and slow. And like and you can see that visually, you're like, we got to start from the ground up, right? Sometimes kids are strong and they have a good ceiling for force production, but like they're not able to generate that force quickly, right? And that's something that I've liked about using force plates for, is just kind of like bucketing those athletes and then also getting an objective measure where we can show like, hey, like, you're getting quicker, you're getting more explosive, things like that, right? And then obviously like the kids like testing their vertical jump and stuff. So like, that's fun. We'll do that. It's not like, I don't live and die by it. Right. But like, absolutely. And then also I think mobility screens that are relevant to the athlete, I don't have an intake protocol because for me, once I see the athlete move for, 10 minutes, a lot of things I push off the plate completely and a lot of things I want to like dive deeper into, right? Does that make sense? So there are concepts that I use from FMS just to kind of get a general sense of, you know, just like hip mobility, a little bit of kind of stability stuff. I like love the push-up test. I think it's really? The FMS push-up one is great. And I just think it gives a really good eye for the athlete's ability to kind of like connect their upper body to their lower body, like through their torso. I just think it depends. Like I think I alter an intake based on kind of like my first perception of the client, if that makes sense. And like, I have the ability to do that because I don't have coaches working for me. I don't have a piece of paper that I have to like give everybody and be like, take these metrics. But you know, the force plate will be huge. And then there's some sport specific stuff, you know, that I like to look into, especially when you get into the high school athletes, you get into the ultra specialized athletes, especially with like throwing sports and things like that. There's some shoulder, you know, stability, shoulder strength things that I like to look into with the force plate. So I know I just gave you like a ton of answers that maybe was not very specific, if that makes sense. But I think the mark of like a good testing protocol is like being able to, you know, adapt it for your athletes. Like, I'm not here to waste your time. So if your hip mobility looks incredible, I'm not going to take you through five other hip mobility assessments. You know what I mean? So it's like, or if I can tell, you know, you're strong, but like functionally slow, I'm not going to make you do five things that are going to tell me that you're slow and that you can't, you know, generate force really quickly. Like, we're just going to kind of get into it. So, in terms of, you know, a testing battery too, like I'll do more weight-based stuff for like high school athletes because they love it. Like, it gets them excited, and we'll look at some of that. But really, I just want a good picture in terms of like balance, stability, core strength, your ability to kind of, you know, connect. I think a big thing with youth athletes is connecting the upper and lower body. Like, we have a lot of noodle kids out there, and I'm like, big dog, you are losing so much force just because why are you moving like that? You know, so it's just like kind of looking at their movement proficiency and identifying the gaps. And like I said, once I hire coaches, I'll probably have a more solidified testing battery. But like, as for me, like, I trust my eye and my ability to kind of discern what I need more information on and what I feel good about. So
when we get off, I'll text you the movement screen that we have. But like you said, anybody cool. That's not watching the video, like all those things written off to the side is me being like, ooh, I forgot about this. Let me make sure I add mm-hmm. this. Especially when you have a kid that moves well and you're like, okay, kind of moving through this, like, let me see these other things that they're doing. And I've got to update this because it's the local assessment. So like individual joints, global, big whole body movement. But then I want to start to put in some of that skipping, you know, the what would be called locomotion stuff, where instead of
yes. just
whole body moving forward, well, like actually traveling from point A to point B, like how do you look doing things like that? And I threw in a bunch of jumps, some, and I couldn't recommend this more for your Hawking plates. Do some of those upper body tests. Like, do the upper
oh, I love them.
Push up, just like the counter movement jump, doing a drop jump, like landing for the upper body, doing an upper body. I have to come up with a better name for it. I call it upper body isometric mid thigh pull testing, but just the whole notion of.
I mean, it. I know what you mean when you say it. So, yeah.
And it's like, because now you want to talk about like, okay, not only did you get stronger, but Lord forbid something happens, you have an injury. Now I know, and I can talk with, you can separate yourself with any other or anybody else. If you can talk with a PT or a primary care of like, listen, this athlete is putting this much force through each limb in this force plate, whether it's the IMTP upper body or the ASH test, like it just helps you then be able to communicate really well and filter out through all those other, like, that's been something that I've found with using them and talking with parents.
Well, yeah. And I also feel like, you know, especially if you get a group, not even necessarily a team, but say, you know, you get a group of four or five kids that are on the same team, like it's so like having that data and being able to like just kind of segment them a little bit is so powerful, especially when you're in kind of like that congested of an environment and like trying to keep eyes on everybody. Like maybe I'm not always going to remember that, you know, Brett's like right leg is a lot weaker than his left leg. You know what I mean? Like just being able to have those kind of like data points when you're planning things out, when you're working with athletes of like similar abilities but have like slightly different needs. And you know, also just kind of like bucketing.
Vitruve has been my choice for VBT for years now, not only because of the encoder and how well it works with the app, and you can film movements with the camera and get live variable feedback in real time if you so choose to on the app, but the fact of the amount of content they have been pushing out to help coaches better understand VBT. It's not only just to move the bar faster. You can be working on what's the appropriate load for high rep sets based off velocity loss. You can be looking at velocity loss threshold between sets, in between reps. VBT is not just moving the bar fast. It's moving the bar fast with heavy weights. It's not just moving lightweight fast. And Vitruve has been at the forefront educating coaches on VBT and how to do it the right way. Check them out in the link down below.
I did a lot of this work in collegiate, and it's more helpful when you have, you know, 60 kids on a swim team coming through and like being able to, you know, bucket a little bit more effectively. But I really think that a lot of coaches miss the mark in identifying what their athletes actually need. And, you know, they kind of operate in this like standardized methodology of like, we have to get like as strong as possible and do this. And then, you know, do this sport specific thing and do this. And it's like, I don't care how strong you are, but like, if you can't generate any type of, you know, if you can't generate force at any type of relevant speed, then, you know, you're not going to be athletic. Right. And so, you know, I like the objectivity of it. I don't want to get bogged down in it, if that makes sense. And then to your point, for my ACL kids, especially, you know, cause I work with a ton of female athletes, for my ACL kids, especially, it's like having that metric of like where you were when you were actually performing. And then kind of understanding a guideline of like, you know, where we should be, when should we be at 70%? When should we be at 80%? Cross-referencing, you know, with a physical therapist or with their ortho or with their, you know, physician. I think there's, like you said, it just gives you such an incredible edge in terms of, you know, always having that knowledge when realistically, if you work with 50 or 60 different kids, you're not going to remember these things week to week. You know what I mean? And so like being able to like pull up a chart, being able to pull up objective data is huge. And I don't think it's something that a lot of people in the private sector are not doing. So.
Well, you talked about college. There's a bunch of college strength conditioning openings in college football, and that could shake up the entire world. If somebody's like, hey, Jay Burke, we want you back. Penn State comes calling, right? Like something happened. Like you got that itch to ever go back college or what?
No. And
what about the athletes? You loved connecting with the athletes.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh man. No, it's crazy. Yeah. No, I love that. I don't, as the environment exists now, I have no interest. I also think that the way that I talk about collegiate athletics has probably blacklisted me from almost every athletic department in the country. So, you know, thank you guys. Yeah, I don't. I miss the job, right? And I don't miss anything else, if that makes sense. And there's a lot else, as you know, because like you've been involved in collegiate. If it was only the job, that would be a different scenario. And also I've noticed a lot about, you know, me as a person, you know, since I've left collegiate, like now it's had time to really settle. And I didn't realize like how heightened I was and how on edge I was and how I was literally always ready for confrontation because that's the way in which I was spoken to in almost every situation in collegiate. And so like I left and I was like, why am I like yelling at people? Like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm in the real world now. Like nobody's trying to fight with me right now. You know what I mean? About my job. Like I don't have to be defensive about my job. I don't have to, you know, every meeting is not me explaining to my sport coach why I'm not an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, but like, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I've literally, recently I've had the same exact, you do need to calm down. Not everybody is coming and trying to attack you. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you're so heightened, and it's just like, it's an environment that just fostered a version of me as a coach that I did not like, and I didn't want to be. And it took being outside of that and really just being okay, I obviously love the athletes and I love that connection piece, but I love what I do. I love, if you ever would have asked me, and I lost sight of that, because if you ever would have asked me if I would have got a force plate 2 years ago, I'd be like, no, fuck that, fuck this, fuck the data. You know what I mean? I was just out. Because there's a lot of coaches, especially in collegiate, that cover up their inability to make actual decisions by just collecting a bunch of data and showing a bunch of charts that mean absolutely nothing and that they cannot interpret, right? And so if you would have asked me that 2 years ago, I've been no, because it was a piece of collegiate. And now I'm just I'm a different person. I'm a different coach. I realize that I do really love that stuff. I love the science of this, my background is so analytical and science-based that is something that excites me. And so getting back to that without, the thought of taking a slide deck of Hawken, reports into a room and getting yelled at for 45 minutes, that sounds great. You know what I mean? You definitely understand what I'm saying. I'm just I'm a totally different coach and, doing the same work and the same thing, but it's completely different.
So our listeners that are working in tactical, private, and corporate wellness, they will probably know what you're talking about and what I'm talking about. For them, and then maybe for you to look a little internally, do you know what was kind of a catalyst that helped you realize that and then be like, wait a minute, I gotta calm down? And then the build off of that would be anybody that's working in college and high school, how can they, or professional also, how can they recognize that and then be like, man, how do I not do that anymore?
I mean, a lot of it was, if I would have been a lot younger, I would have never realized it, right? And so a lot of it is just came from experience of living on this earth and being honest with myself about what I'm good at, what I'm bad at, what is off-putting to people, things like that. But a lot of it was just, I would be in these situations and I would just kind of self-reflect after. And I'm like, why was I pissed? Why am I mad? And then, candidly, I did a lot of therapy and I was my first therapist that I saw after college athletics, I literally went into that relationship and I was like, I'm pissed all the time. And I don't know why. And I recognize it. And I know my friends recognize it. And I know, the people in my life recognize it. And I am just on edge all the time, heightened 100% of the time. And it was a lot of exercises of just understanding where that was coming from, understanding and being reassured through time that I didn't need a defense mechanism 24 hours a day anymore, to survive. So, I mean, it was really a lot of being honest with myself, but when you start to not like the person that you're operating as, it's very easy to notice that, you know what I mean? And so, and I didn't, so.
Yeah. Again, same way, always being on the edge like that. And I guess anybody that's listening, my two cents is it's A, not that serious. And maybe, I don't know if I'm speaking for you, but I definitely put my identity as a strength coach. That's what it was. I, Justin Lima, am a strength coach, and my value is what my role is, how strong the athletes are. And if they suck, I suck. I'm a piece of shit.
Well, and it's an identity crisis. And I even felt that through working with people and through navigating through the private sector, a big piece of why people choose to work with me is my legitimacy and my resume. And so not basing my talents and my, professional capabilities on the fact that I had worked in collegiate before. It's the same thing on social media. And that stuff used to make me upset. When some guy who, doesn't know exercise, whatsoever is like commenting and like, well, you're like just an Instagram personal trainer. You know what I mean? Like you have that conversation with yourself and you're like, why did that piss me off? And it's like, oh, because the only time that I was actually legitimate was when I was coaching at Penn State or when I was coaching at Purdue. And like, I felt like a coach and, you know, and so, and like, that was my problem. That wasn't anybody else's problem. And now like those same guys comment on my post and I'm like, you're ugly. Like, go away. Like, I don't have time for this today. Like, it's just, it's too much. You know what I mean? And it doesn't bother me because I like feel.
Hawken Dynamics is my preferred choice for force plates and for handheld dynamometers. Made in the USA up in Maine, I have been using them since 2020 when I was at Towson University. Still use them at Goldfinch today, and I brought the plates to the high school that I've trained at. We will use the plates and transport them when we train athletes at the many different high schools that we currently work at. As I said, they are a handheld dynamometer as well with the true strength. You can assess athlete internal, external rotation, hip, AB, adduction, calf strength, hip, whatever you want to assess, you can do with the true strength. It also has the ability to pair with the difference striking machine. So now you can see single strike, multiple strike. Check out Hawken Dynamics down in the link down below.
So much more settled in my identity as a coach in the private sector. And I'm like, it's been a process to become proud of that. And I'm sure you felt the exact same way because I felt like I jumped off a cliff, you know, when I left collegiate and I didn't know who I was as a coach, I didn't understand my identity. And, you know, building that has been like really tough practically and emotionally. And so, just getting to a place where I can be like proud of my work and my business again. And it was hard.
Yeah. You jumped off the cliff and built the airplane while you're in the air.
Truly. Truly.
That's kind of what happened with Strength Coach Network. Like bought it from Keir and it's like, all right, hey, figure this thing out.
You're like, I spent some money, so I'm either going to hit the ground or deploy the parachute, hopefully at some point. Yeah, no, I mean, you and I are similar in that vein in that like I function well in those scenarios, thankfully. Yeah. Like I know a lot of people that do not do well under that kind of pressure. And, you know, there were definitely a few times where I was just like, should I even be doing this? Like, should I do something else? Like, you know, and no, like every other day, but I was just trying to be for the audience, you know, I was trying to be, you know, inspirational. So yeah, but that I think is definitely the biggest shift, especially like since we talked, I even feel like, you know, I'm way, way different than I was when I first left. So
I think anybody that wants to listen to and trying to read between the lines of what we're saying right here is like, obviously love your athletes, love what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with that, but you have to know yourself beyond just, I'm the coach that blows the whistle and tells them when to show up. And if my athletes are late, it's not because I like you. You just have to really, truly know yourself. And sometimes like Jess said right there, it does require you to get out of the fucking weight room and like get out of that sometimes cylinder or concrete walls with no sun and like go maybe just for like a 5 minute walk. And then that'll lead you to a 10 and a 20 and like get quiet. Don't put on a podcast and kind of learn who you are and what you want to represent as a coach.
It's funny that you say that because it was a coping mechanism and I used to have to have my headphones on all the time. Like when I first left collegiate, I could not be alone with myself and my thoughts. Like it was impossible for me. I had to have a podcast on, I had to have music on. And I remember like, I was, you know, of course, ironically, like listening to some podcast or something. Right. And I, of course, cause I was listening to it 23 fucking hours a day. And I was listening to some podcasts and, you know, and I think a lot of that was like me seeking knowledge. Like I was listening to business podcasts and coaching podcasts, and I just needed something to like grasp onto. But I listened to a podcast and it was like, if you can't spend time by yourself, like not watching Netflix, not listening to something, like then you have a problem. And I just spent 4 minutes just like with nothing on. And I was like, oh, I have a problem. Like we have a problem, you know, like I can't do this. And so, you know, that was like a big catalyst for me where I was like, I need to deal with what's going on, you know?
And, but like now everybody listen, okay, that was a recognized problem. Me as well. And now hear what we both said about 10 minutes ago, how much happier in a more grounded, better place you're serving your clients better online and in person. You're create like when you can go through that quote unquote, and it's not even that uncomfortable, but it is because we're, you know, alone with your own thoughts and trying to find your and do your own self work. you're now in a better place to pour into everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that was a big thing. And that was a conversation that, you know, I had with a lot of my athletes that kept touch with me, like after I left and things like that. And, you know, they'd reach out and be like, oh, like, you know, we miss you, like, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of them would ask me and they'd be like, why did you leave? And of course, I could have told them one of the, I don't know, 100 stories that would make anybody vomit from just how terrible and despicable some of the people in college athletics absolutely are. But for me, it was just like, you know, I wasn't being like as effective, as empathetic, as, you know, productive, as enjoyable of a coach that I know that I had the capability to be. And like, it bothered me all the time, right? And so that was just, you know, something I had to come to an understanding of. And not to say you can't come to that realization, leave collegiate and then go back, right? But for me, it was almost immediate that, you know, quality of life got better. And I started to, you know, recognize how truly just like bad things were for me when I was in that space.
You saying that, I thought of a bunch of stories myself, and I'm going to give you one right here. So here's an example of why Justin was always on edge and thought that I was a bad strength coach. I was rehabbing a guy who had a foot injury. We were doing seated dumbbell overhead press was one of like his main movements in his rehab. He was doing three sets, 5-5, last set max.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, because we've done this from the 5-3-1 program, first set's 5, next set's 5, last set, max reps. Looking to get 5, but if you can get more, mm-hmm. you get more. And so when I went back, I was like, oh, how many did he get on his last set? I'm like, oh, he got like 8. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You don't like, what? He's like, it was supposed to be a max set of 5. 5? Like, if you go and look back on our lift cards, we had, like, it says 5-5 max. Like, it wasn't a 5 RM, like. Can
yeah.
you have any ownership in this? No. Okay. You're right. It is just me. Like,
well, and also like that is the exact type of thing where it's like.
Powerlift has been my choice for strength and conditioning equipment ever since I got into the field. Right now, I still have their racks. I have their barbells. I have their bumpers, specialty bars, and we have the IMTP device at Goldfinch, and it's been great for us because it's allowed us to free up the rack where we used to have to do the IMTPs. Now, we use that IMTP device, roll it around. We've created more space. You have to check them out. Doesn't matter if in your college, high school, pro, tactical, or private, they have the ability to make whatever customizations and whatever adjustments you need. I was a part of the weight room that was the 32 brand new rack facility at Iowa football. You see what they did for TCU football. Doesn't matter how big, how small, whatever your customizations are, Powerlift is number one in the exercise equipment space for a reason. Check them out in the link down below.
It becomes like people in that environment who are not comfortable and confident with what they know and themselves have as a coach have to find other things to hold on to, have to find other hills to die on. And a lot of the, you know, flack I was taking, a lot of the criticism I was taking was, you know, from people or in situations where I knew the other person was uncomfortable with themselves and their efforts, right? And like, that's not my problem. Like, I've been there. I've been uncomfortable with myself and my efforts. And like, that's my problem, right? Like, I'm not going to put that onto you. But like, you know, in that situation, like, you didn't do anything wrong. Like, and also nobody died, I don't think. Maybe you could correct me. Like, so it's just like, I'm like, we're quite legitimately lifting weights. This is not brain surgery. Like we all survived it. Crazy. Like, you know, but you probably got reamed. Oh, you know what I mean?
It was on my, I got on my year end report. Like that was written down of like,
not the
takes this that seriously.
So we're going to put you on a performance improvement plan, Justin, because you can't fucking read.
I was like, but if I show you all of our lift cards for the freshmen, the Devo kids, it has 5-5 max. What are we doing?
But also, like, and I just want to make this point as clearly as I can, from a scientific and conceptual level of strength and conditioning, that still doesn't matter.
Exactly. Like,
I just want to be clear that it doesn't. So, and I don't know. I don't know who that was, but I would say it to his face as well. I would hop on a call with him just to let him know. So, yeah, I completely hear where you're coming from with that. It's crazy.
Yeah. So anybody, again, big takeaway from this, spend some time, like you're going to train yourself physically, but like spend some time figuring out who you want to actually be as a coach, because the end of 2025, we're entering into new, like, strength conditioning has changed so much in 5 years. It could change again, but the real coaches are the ones that know themselves. They know their education. They have their progressions. They have their regressions. You and I guarantee you our programs don't look the same, but you can see the, like, oh, okay, here's the this, here's the that. And if you can do that into thy own self, know and help athletes, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a big part of that is, like, I think there's less of it in private sector, especially when you start to talk to coaches who have been doing this for a while and who are pretty successful. Like, so much of it in collegiate is like ego, right? And it's like, my program's better than your program. And like, you know, we're working with college kids. Like, if we're working with like a college, you know, women's team, like, and I have a program, you have a program, like, realistically, no matter how different they are, unless one of them is completely asinine and nothing that I would ever do with athletes, which I have seen that in collegiate before too. All right. 5x10 working sets of trap bar deadlift at 85%. I don't know why. I don't even, great. Great. Everybody has rhabdo now and I love it. Like, perfect. Not even humanly possible, yeah, by the way, but yeah,
like, you're not doing
that. We're not getting there. Right. So anyways, regardless of that, like, it's, you know, we could have vastly different programs. And if in our heads we're like, okay, we're trained for the same thing, we want this adaptation, you know, like, the result is not going to be that different. Like, there is not that much variance in sound scientific training principles that you're going to, you know, really mess these kids up or mess this team up, or your kids are going to be a lot stronger than your kids. Like, I think there's such an ego attached to, like, people being like, well, I am like the chosen one. Like, I'm the coach. I'm going to get this team. We're going to win the championship. It's going to be because of me. You know what I mean? And it's just like, we're all doing the same shit in a different flavor, you know? And like, once you kind of realize that, like, I can look at any program from a strength coach now and be like, oh, cool. Like, I have never done that. I wouldn't think to do that. But like, now I actually, A, kind of probably want to try it myself and just like see what it feels like. But like, cool. Like, whatever. And it doesn't bother me that it's not the way that I would do it, because my entire concept of self-worth is not based on the fact that I think I hold the key to strength and conditioning. You know what I mean? So it's just like getting out of that headspace where, you know, you just don't need to always be like competing to prove your legitimacy anymore. So
that just reminded me of a comedian who was talking about Mexican food, and he was someone, he's like, all Mexican food's the same. He's like, he asked somebody like, oh, you know, what's a taco? It's a, you know, a tortilla, some cheese and some beef. Oh, what's a burrito? Oh, it's a burrito. It's a, you know, a tortilla, some cheese and ground beef. Oh, what's an enchilada? Well, like, it's kind of packaged differently, but it's all really the same. And he brought it up to me. It's a guy that owns one of the owners of the gym that I do my jiu-jitsu and kickboxing at. He's like, strength and conditioning is kind of the same if you think about it.
Team Builder has been my trusted source for online software programs for my athletes since 2019. Since then, they've continued to grow. They have this new practice integration where practice planning can integrate with the sport coach. You have your sports science, your AMS, the questionnaires. They've continued to evolve and keep giving you the things that you need. It has made my life easier as a strength coach. I want the same for you. You do not need to keep printing on lift cards. Please, printing on lift cards in Excel, you don't need to do that. If you need help being able to purchase it, they have a pre-written grant on their website. They're also part owners in the Plyomat with Coach Rich Burnett. So if you need to get a good device that can accurately and validly and quickly get your jump height and ground contact time, so now you can get RSI, Plyomat's a great choice. We utilize that at Goldfinch. Check Team Builder. Check them out in the link down below. Please stop printing on lift cards. It's going to make your life easier. It's going to make your athlete's life easier. It's easier to program on the back end. Check out Team Builder in the link down below.
Yeah, no, it really is. And like I said, I don't want to take away from the point that, like, I have seen some programs where I'm like, okay, maybe you should be arrested. I don't know. You know, like, jail. Yeah, no, that was insane. That was, I read this and I was like, oh, won't be doing that. Thank you so much. You should do that though. You should try that.
Yeah, exactly. And film it. Let me know.
Yeah, exactly. Let me know how that goes. So, but yeah, no, it's, and there's so much ego attached to it in like college, and there's so many people who like think they're so much better than everybody else. I'm like, we're just all doing the same shit. Like, we all have a squat variation. We all have a deadlift variation. We're pressing some shit. We're pushing some shit. We're pulling some shit. Sometimes it's heavy. Sometimes it's not as heavy. Like, it's that really is what it comes down to. And obviously, like, your, you know, progression and programming knowledge has to be sound. But there are, you know, I mean, even you can see it in like different, like 531, love the training philosophies behind that program. Like, I love it. That's something I used to like implement all the time. But it looks vastly different from tons of other programs, but they all fucking work because they all follow a set of principles. So it's just like, you know, I think getting out has really reaffirmed that a lot of people get hung up on a lot of stuff that really just doesn't even matter, even a little bit. So
last question to respect your time. This is a theory of mine. I think the old heads that are still in college pro high school are kind of fear mongering those that want to get out and go high school or that want to go tactical, want to go private, almost being like, you're a sellout if you don't stay in college and you're not working with these elites and the elite, when there are still a ton of gen pop people that A, are physically blasting, can do some really freaky athletic stuff. But like, and I say that because the number of coaches that I've talked to that want to go tactical that sound like, the normal conversation is like, but I'm giving up my dream. And like, I'm giving up, like, and we've just created this world where it's like, yeah, no, I'll work for $30,000 a year because I get to stand on a sideline of any basketball game, football, whatever it is. And I think those old heads don't want to lose their assistants that are willing to work for that $30,000. And that's just my hypothesis.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's this like self-righteousness that has really wiggled its way into strength and conditioning. And it's like, yeah, no, if your dream is to not be able to afford to eat and, you know, get yelled at every second of every day. And now with the transfer portal and NIL, having kids in the weight room tell you to go fuck yourself. Like, if that's your dream, then God bless, right? Have so much fun, right? But it's not my problem that I'm doing something different and that you don't like that, right? And it's that entire identity thing. There are so many people that are so firmly rooted in their identity as collegiate strength and conditioning coaches that they're uncomfortable with the idea of doing anything else, not for the reason that the people are less talented or it's they're not working for athletes. It's they want to remain the version of themselves that they've created in their head, right? Who is like this college strength coach. The idea that you, it somehow makes you more of a deserving professional to be willing to work for legitimately no money is crazy. You know, I definitely didn't anticipate my business growing as aggressively and as rapidly as it did. But, you know, now the only thing I hear from people in collegiate, the ones who even still talk to me is like, you know, oh, that must be like nice. Oh, wow. Like, you know, it's, you must be cool. And I'm like, if you're mad, just say that out loud. Just say it out loud. Right. Like, it's not my problem that you're unhappy with the life that you've created in this industry. And like, people will delegitimize you and I all the time and say that we couldn't hack it in collegiate. And like, we just like didn't have the chops for it. And it's like, I really got tired of getting yelled at by grown men for no reason. Like, it just, it wasn't for me. And like my quality of life and like the things I can do now not being in collegiate is like exponentially better. So it's, to me, it's just like, it's a lot of people that are unhappy with themselves. And I'm sure you've noticed this as well, a little bit less because, you know, you have Strength Coach Network and you're like connecting with these people all the time. But like, there's almost a little bit of this like isolation from that portion of the industry, you know, after leaving, because it's like, you know, somehow now I am less legitimate, right, in the eyes of others. And, you know, those people will occasionally pop back in to make, you know, snide comments about myself or my business. But other than that, I don't really hear from a lot of them. So it's just, it's an interesting ecosystem, right?
And that's what I'm just so obsessed about is trying to help strength coaches where it's like, look, you love to do, you know, some coaches might not, like you said, they're not as good at you as being able to build the airplane when they're in the air, but they want to work with people and help them get better. And for some of them, it's corporate wellness. For some of them, it's tactical because that's a completely different setting. That things are different. For some of them, they can find it in high school. For some of them, they can find it my obsession has been teaching them all the different avenues in which they could do the thing that they love to a varying degree, put food on their table, keep a roof over their head, put some food in there, or put some clothes on, and be able to take a vacation every now and again. Like, that's been my goal and my quest of uncovering all these different areas and learning how to make it better. So that way, eventually, if more and more coaches are saying no to college because of the pay, see, my dog's barking now too.
I love it. Amped up.
Like, yeah, he's like, yeah, fuck. He's like, fuck.
He's like, fuck yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell
him. I mean, if now more coaches are saying no because they've got these other opportunities, guess what it forces people to do? They have to then now potentially pay could go up in those other universities.
Absolutely. I think the entire, and I mean, obviously strength and conditioning doesn't live within a vacuum. So a lot of other stuff is going on just in terms of like athletic departments, conferences, like things are just really, really crazy right now. You know, I love the fact that kids are getting paid and NIL and stuff, but like between that and the transfer portal, adapting all of that so quickly has ruined the landscape a little bit, in my opinion. And you know, things are crazy. Kids are leaving. You have no consistency. Like coaches are getting fired because they can't keep kids because instead of getting a Maserati here, now they can get a Lamborghini there. It's like the whole thing is like up in flames. Right. And I think now they're kind of scrambling to put out the fire. So that's a separate, you know, discussion, but in terms of, like pay in collegiate and lifestyle in collegiate, it's the same way that I feel about the private sector. And we've talked about that. It's like, it is up to us to legitimize the profession, right? I am okay dying on the hill that I don't want to make $42,000 a year. I don't think athletic trainers should make $35,000 a year. I don't think any strength and conditioning coach should have to spend 3/4 of their paycheck for rent in a college town. Like, I don't think those are unreasonable requests. And so, but everybody's tripping over themselves to like wear the best logo that they can wear and completely disregarding their lifestyle, their mental health, everything else. And so it's just like, once we kind of start respecting ourselves as professionals enough to not, you know, fist fight somebody else for a $28,000 salary, like, things have to improve. Like, you know, I hate to say this, but as, you know, as somebody who's like quantitatively trained, like I have a literal economics degree, that's how it works, right? The marketplace has to respond to the consumer. The marketplace has to respond to the supply of employees, right? And if we're not willing to work for, you know, $40,000 a year, maybe the athletic director has to take one less private jet flight that year and the salary goes up by $15,000. You know what I mean? Like, we have done a really poor job of forcing these universities to care about strength coaches and athletic trainers as professionals. And so, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, how I feel about it. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to see a shift where people get 5-10 years in and they get really tired of it. And the landscape shifts from it being like, you know, in the last 10 years, like all these like old guys who were like, I've been here for 40 fucking years. I've been lifting weights. We're lifting weights the same way we were lifting. You know, it shifts from that to like, you can only get 23-year-old strength coaches and then they leave because they don't want to be poor for the rest of their lives. Right. And so I think we're watching that a little bit, but it really is up to strength coaches to legitimize the profession, whether it be in private sector or whether it be in athletics. So.
Yeah, because unless you're an undergraduate student and you're already getting room paid for, there's no, like, if you get $36,000 a year, but you have your room paid for as a senior, right? Like, that's a great position for you. You're banking
$30,000
a month. Like, dude.
Yeah.
You. But no, as a human being, like, no. And that's been my, that's what it just made so obsessive for me, because I love doing the thing. So do you. You love training people. And if we can help them find a different avenue to help train individuals, that's what this is all about. And then eventually the pay can reflect, because we're just teachers, right? Like, give us even a teacher salary. Shit, 75K? Like, that's what most teachers make at a university. Pay a strength coach 75K.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I think that's why I've been so, I guess, steadfast in my opinion about, you know, the way I want to build my business, the way I want to hire employees. Like, I, you know, want to be respected as a strength coach, and I owe that respect, you know, to other strength coaches in the profession. And, you know, I can't sit here and bitch about $30,000 a year and then hire somebody and be like, Yeah, well, I'm gonna pay you like $30 an hour, and I'm gonna make 90 off the top of that. And then maybe you'll get 10 sessions a week, but like I need you to be available all the time. Like it's crazy. And that's how a lot of people operate their businesses. And like I respect the profession more than that. And so, when I do hire people, which like if you're listening, like pay attention to my Instagram, right? Because I'm gonna be hiring people and I wanna pay fat paychecks, right? Like, and I'm not gonna scream at you. Like it's gonna be chill, I promise. It's gonna be great. You're gonna feel like you're on vacation if you're coming from Collegiate. I'm gonna promise you that. But you know what I mean? Like that's why I have such a strong desire to do that because it's like it just takes people starting to do that. And then people don't want to work in shitty environments when they could work in good environments. And so I encourage also a lot of strength coaches to, oh my God, the puppy. Bring it up. Oh no. Oh no. Hi,
Murphy, say what's up,
Stinky. Oh my God. My dog just heard me using my dog voice and was like, you better not be talking to another dog.
bro.
She's over here. She's
Gonna
staring at
howl.
me. But yeah, no, and that's why I'm so passionate about that. And that's why I think one of it was on like one of your posts, perhaps from one of our last episodes, where this guy was like, well, you, in order to do that, would have to understand how a business works. And there's like, utilities and overhead. And like, I'm just like, shh, it's okay. Like, it's gonna be okay. But you know what I mean? Like my desire to own and operate a business is not anyone else's problem, right? And I encourage people in strength and conditioning to really think about that. Like if you're not willing to coach and be on your feet for 60 hours a week, yeah, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, you can only do it for a couple months. But if like that's something that you're truly unwilling to do, then like don't open a business. Work for somebody else because you kind of sound like a weenie, and that's fine. If you want to be a weenie, I don't really, it doesn't bother me, but just the self-awareness is key. So,
Jess, I appreciate you catching up. It's been a pleasure to chat as always, and we'll be rooting for you out here in Iowa.
I know, I'm excited. Thanks for having me back for the 97th time. The people are tired of me.
They're tired of me.
They're like, get this bitch off the show.